Hi, it's Vanessa Bolin.
So can you tell me about what's going on in West Virginia? What is the pipeline that's being built there, and what company is it being built by?
The Mountain Valley Pipeline is a 300-mile pipeline that is being built by Duke Energy. And the pipeline is starting in West Virginia, travels through Virginia, across the Appalachian Trail, through pristine waterways, and goes into North Carolina. Right now, the company building the pipeline is making a hot mess of everything. Their erosion and sediment control is very poor, and there's already been multiple slides of mud into roadways, blocking roadways, preventing children from getting to school, families getting to their homes.
So could you tell us more about some of the resistance by treesets?
A monopod is a singular structure. In this case, it was a pole that was erected in the middle of a road, and it had guy wires that were attached to trees around it. And it was also guy wires that were attached to the gate that opened up onto Pocahontas Road that would have allowed vehicles in and out. So we had a monopod that went up. It was, I believe, 56 days, the longest monopod ever inhabited by anyone. And a person named Nutty stayed up there. They starved her out, would not supply her with food or water. A few miles from her on the Virginia side where the pipeline was going through, this was happening in the National Forest, I believe it was George Washington National Forest. A few miles on the Virginia side, there were multiple tree sets who people occupied. So when Nutty came down about a mile and a half down from her, somebody else had set up another set, and they were able to stay up. But then law enforcement and the Forestry Service moved in with a cherry picker and removed them physically from the set. There have been a lot of support from local communities for the tree sitters, and many, and I would not be surprised if it was hundreds of people, hiked up the mountain. The Forestry Service closed the road, Pocahontas Road, that the monopod was on, and would not allow people to go up the road except for pipeline workers and the Forestry Service or law enforcement. So hundreds of people hiked up to visit and visit with Nutty, offer support and solidarity, sang to her, yelled out. Multiple clergy and spiritual leaders tried to visit with her. They were prevented. They also tried to take food and water. They were prevented from giving her food or water. Multiple doctors tried to visit to do wellness checks. They were prevented from visiting with her as well.
How were people prevented from giving access to them?
So at first there was a support camp that was set up very close to the monopod, within 25-50 feet, and a resupply happened after they had the Forestry Service and the hired thugs for the pipeline company took up camp underneath them and would not allow food or water. So Nutty had thrown out a cord and somebody attached a backpack to it, and she was able to get resupplied with a little bit of water and a little bit of food. It did help her. She finally came down because of just sheer exhaustion and being out of food. Her health was starting to suffer from being up there. So she is a hero. She held on as long as she could, and they literally starved her out to the detriment of her health. But it's amazing that they were willing to let this person die. They would not let doctors do wellness checks on her. They would not even provide water or a bologna sandwich. I mean, they give that stuff to people in prison. So they treated this very calm, beautiful, nonviolent person as the worst kind of criminal. The pipeline company moved the support camp back 125 feet, and then I believe it ended up being 150 feet, so they would have to yell or use a megaphone to communicate with Nutty. And so they kept moving the support camp back. They didn't want any kind of resupply happen, so no humanitarian aid was allowed to be given. And they, when people would try to communicate, they would pull a generator up underneath the monopod so that she could not communicate and nobody could communicate with her. She just couldn't hear people. At Nutty's sit early on, several people have been arrested for trying to resupply, but one was arrested, interestingly enough, in a parking lot. And an MVP employee told the Forestry Service and law enforcement that this person had been driving erratically in a parking lot. And on their word alone, with multiple people standing around, said they weren't driving erratically, this person was arrested. The charges did get dropped against them, but it was still an inconvenience. And just at the word of the pipeline company, law enforcement arrested somebody who was totally innocent and found innocent and had the charges dropped against them. But these are shady things. When we have law enforcement that allow this pipeline company to call the shots, and for them to not defend the forest, not defend people, but defend the pipeline, and then allow the hired thugs of the pipeline to work with them and set up camp with them and laugh and joke, sit up underneath the monopods or the shoe sets or whatever and eat their food and taunt the person who's engaged in nonviolent threat action, that there's a problem. That says something about the state of our country, and it says something about human nature. So greed over people's needs, this pipeline is going under, I believe it's over 1,000 waterways, and it's going through tier 3 streams, which are some of the most pristine waters that there are. It's going through a karst system. There's going to be 65-foot mountaintop removal. It's destroying the AT. It's nothing good about any of it.
So can you tell us more about the resistance by landowners to both of the pipelines?
There are amazing people. The people in West Virginia are rightfully angry. Their land, their home, their way of life, their water are all being destroyed. The Appalachian Trail is being destroyed during the sits. For whatever reason, the Forestry Service gave implicit and specific okay for the MVP and the Forestry Service to actually take four-wheelers onto the Appalachian Trail, and it just destroyed a portion of the trail. Many people were complaining about it. The landowners are horrified, of course. Every ounce of resistance, you know, had to come down, or they were threatened with fines, or they were threatened with court, or they did go to court and get fined. And they were just, the only resistance they had was to stand and bear witness to the destruction. They videotaped. There have been, there is a whole group of people who are dedicated to flying planes and drones to monitor the pipelines. There have been many cases of them reporting the failure to protect the way they're supposed to. So they've reported incidents to DEQ, to Army Corps, to whoever they can, and they're basically ignored. They might be given a fine or said, hey, you've got to fix this before you move on, but even with the horrible destruction they're causing and the failure of their sediment and erosion control plans, they're still being allowed to continue to construct this pipeline. So the landowners are still fighting back. There are court cases still pending, and the pipeline company just keeps pushing back dates. So they were supposed to stop by March the 31st. They were supposed to stop by June. They were supposed to stop, but they keep getting granted the right to continue to construct. So what they're doing is they're not really paying attention to what they're doing because there are pending suits, and that what they want to do is just pound their way through and just rake the earth, put in as much as they can so that when they go to court, they can say, but we've already spent so much money and it's going to cost us so much money and you can't stop us now because we've already done all this work and it's going to cost us money. So corporate greed has trumped people's need. We need to change these laws that have allowed for these companies to proceed with unnecessary pipelines and frack gas pipelines. We live under these really antiquated laws from the 1800s that came from a railroad baron who got tired of every time he tried to put the railway through a town, they would say, we don't want that. So he had laws enacted that if it was interstate commerce and deemed in the public good, that he could take land and build his railroads. We are still living under those laws. Also, we're living under really horrible laws that give corporations rights. Corporations are nothing but a piece of paper. As a group of people who've come together on a piece of paper, but yet they are given rights. And they, when they go to court, when these things are challenged, they pull out the eminent domain and deemed in the interest of the public good, which neither pipeline being built at this time in West Virginia, Virginia, North Carolina are in any way for the public good. So that is just land theft again, because the people know that this land actually belongs to Native Americans. Yeah. We also have to remember that these pipelines are going through Native American sites. There is an ancient village that's been proven, the state knows about it, MVP knows about it, historians know about it, that it was inhabited by Native Americans from 10,500 years ago up to 400 years ago during colonial settlement time, and there are, everywhere you look, you can walk and pick up arrowheads and pipes and axe heads. This is an ancient village. There are multiple burial sites that has been pointed out, and the pipeline company is going through it. I do know that the Monacan tribe has spoken out very strongly, and they are a federally recognized tribe against the pipeline company, but they have largely been ignored. The Cheyenne River Sioux tribe has got involved, and they have been ignored.
So I know that the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission has already given EQT Corporation, which is the company building Mountain Valley Pipeline, they've already given them 3 extensions to finish cutting down the trees that they need to cut down. And I guess the reason that they need to do it within a certain time is because it endangers the habitat of a endangered species of bats in that area.
And also birds of prey, and also the there's a perch that is spawning, and FERC just keeps ignoring the deadline dates. And what the pipeline company has used, what MVP has used, is that because of the tree sits, it impeded their progress and it slowed them down. Therefore, they should have the right to go ahead and cut. And it doesn't matter what they destroy, what migratory habitat they destroy, or what's going on. So FERC is flawed. there is no rhyme or reason. It's basically when Trump got in office and he made these pipelines priority and he told every regulatory agency to work for them and with them and make this happen, and that's exactly what they're doing. So it's not just that they don't care about people, they don't care about the environment, they don't care about endangered species, they just don't care. What they care about is lining their pockets and that of their shareholders. So, and there are loggerhead, I believe, I'm trying to think of their exact name of the perch, but there's also a very specific little fish called candy darter. There's, and where they are cutting, it's already been proven that once they cut down the trees, because that's part of an ecosystem, so those trees hang over, they make it cool so that the trout can be in the streams. And it's been proven that this is going to affect these species of animals. But FERC doesn't care. DEQ doesn't care. No one seems to care that this is happening. They just keep giving them extensions.
So what do you, you know, what do you think is going to happen by the end of July? Do you think they're going to be done? I read that they only need to cut down 0.31 more acres, so like a third of an acre.
Yeah.
Do you think that they would get done?
I don't think they. Well, they pushed hard that they needed to finish this by March the 31st. That didn't happen. So they, the whole premise of taking early entry onto private lands, because remember, a lot of these people have not received a single dime, not a single dime from MVP. But what they said was they had to have this cut by March the 31st. If it was not cut by March the 31st, they would not be able to complete their pipeline in time. It would throw them off. So now they're using, oh, the tree sits slowed us down, so therefore we should continue. It doesn't matter. The timeline doesn't matter. They're just, it's a thump in the face of the resistance. They're like, it doesn't matter what you do. We're just going to keep building. It's just a crooked system, and people don't matter. The planet doesn't matter. The water doesn't matter. Nothing matters. Is corporate greed. So right now, there is still very strong resistance to the pipeline, and there are many court cases pending at this time. There are multiple sites of resistance and people standing up and yelling back. What the people of Houston can do is start putting pressure on FERC to change their laws and change the way they do things. Also, just pay attention. There are excellent sites out there who are in support, NOACP, Voices, Appalachian Voices, Friends of Floyd. You look online and you can just find multiple sites to go to, offer words of encouragement, write letters. Just speak out. Keep sharing the story, because what's happening in Virginia, West Virginia, and North Carolina is an atrocity, and it needs to be stopped. So if they want to come and stand in resistance, we'd love to have them. Beautiful country. Well, except for where the pipeline has already destroyed so much pristine and beautiful land.
Thank you so much. Vanessa, is there anything that you want to add that we haven't had a chance to talk about?
Yes. We're still here. We're still fighting. We're still standing. And there are multiple people who are Standing Rock. Those seeds that were spawned from that movement are here. When that ended, many people came out to offer solidarity to the people of West Virginia, Virginia, and North Carolina. And you know, we need to remember that at the end of the day, you can't drink oil. You can drink water. And we need to keep it as clean as possible, not just for us, but for the next seven generations. It's our responsibility to do that.